I don't know about you, but anyone who lists Dr. Seuss, Dylan Thomas, Walt Whitman, and Jimi Hendrix as their major influences is okay in my book. I'm Lisa Morgan, and today on The Weekly Reader, our book critic Marian Winnick is here to talk about the late, great Dennis Johnson. Hi, Marian.
Hi, Lisa. Last year, not long before Dennis Johnson's death at 67, there was an event in New York City to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Jesus' Son, a collection of linked stories about addiction, failure, and redemption. Some listeners may know the movie version with Billy Crudup. The stories in the book are funny, sad, gentle, outrageous, and amazingly original, considering the sameness of narratives on this topic. As the writer Elizabeth McCracken once said, there is no contemporary collection of stories more popular among other writers. Now Johnson has left us. Though he was clean and sober for 40 years, it was liver cancer in the end. And soon after, his publisher announced that there would be one last collection. I was nervous. So many posthumous books lately have been nothing but embarrassing money grabs. Poor Michael Crichton, poor Stieg Larsson, and God knows what we're looking at with the Salinger situation. But the good news is that Dennis Johnson's The Largesse of the Sea Maiden was clearly intended to be his final word to his readers, even containing a few gut-punching metafictional moments when he acknowledges that you're reading this and he's dead. Each of the five stories is one way or another about wrapping up a life. The plots are littered with dying people, corpses, ghosts, and commentary on mortality. Two of the stories feature characters like those in Jesus' Son, lovable, amusing addicts, criminals, and losers. Strangler Bob, set in prison, brings back one of the characters from the first book, the good-hearted teenage murderer Dun-Dun, who is again causing so much more trouble than he means to. The Starlight on Idaho is a series of letters written by Mark Cassandra from rehab. Dear Jennifer Johnson, well, to catch you up on things, the last 4 years have really kicked my ass. I try to get back to that point I was in fifth grade when you sent me a note with a heart on it that said, Dear Mark, I really like you. From there, it's Dear Pope John Paul, Dear Satan, Dear Rolling Stone and TV Guide. Absurd, wonderful, and unexpectedly moving. The other stories in the collection are about older characters, all writers. Bill Whitman, the 62-year-old narrator of The Largesse of the Sea Maiden, is an advertising copywriter who gets a phone call. It's his first wife, calling from her deathbed, to forgive him for all the terrible things he did to her. Partway through the conversation, he frantically begins to wonder if this is actually his first wife, Ginny, or is it his second wife, Jenny, who was a victim of the same set of crimes. Doppelganger Poltergeist is the finale of the collection, and man, is it crazy. Here, the narrator is a former writing professor at Columbia, and one of his students has become a big, famous poet, but also a man obsessed with Elvis Presley. His theory is that Elvis's twin, and there really was a twin, was not born dead, but was stolen and raised by the midwife, and that he was substituted for the real Elvis at a certain point. That's where it starts, anyway. The author Lawrence Wright once quoted Johnson on the writing process, quote, You get in your teacup, take your oar, and strike off for Australia, and if you wind up in Japan, you're ecstatic. This story definitely winds up in Japan.
The books are Jesus' Son and The Largesse of the Sea Maiden by Dennis Johnson. You can find more information about these titles, links to reviews, and our podcast at wypr.org/programs/weekly-reader. The Weekly Reader podcast is made possible by the Ivy Bookshop. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marian Winnick.